Welcome to A Quiet Life. I'm your host, Ruth Amos. 1 Thessalonians 4 says, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. In this podcast, I chat to all sorts of normal Christians, asking them just how they live their quiet lives and how they integrate their faith into their daily life. I hope that by listening, you will be encouraged to go out and live your own quiet life to the glory of God. You can find the episode show notes, the Quiet Life blog, and other resources at ruthamos.com.au. That's ruthamos.com.au. Now let's get on with the show. Hello and welcome to A Quiet Life. I'm Ruth Amos from ruthamos.com.au. It's so great to have you listening, and I hope that you're having a great day, whatever you're doing. This is episode 6 today, and as I record this, it is Wednesday, the 14th of November, 2018. And today's guest is Rosina, and it's just such a lovely talk. So Rosina nursed her husband Ted through early onset Alzheimer's, and we talk a bit about that. And also we discuss our introversion, because we are both quite introverted people, and we've been exploring that in recent times. And so that's very interesting discussion. But really, I think you can sum up this one under the heading, Total Dependence on God. And Rosina just talks about how, depending on God, being thrown on God, and how that's helped her get through her life, how God has helped her get through her life, because it hasn't all been fun. So, I hope that you're really uplifted by listening and encouraged that whatever you're going through, God is there for you, and you can totally depend on him. This week in my life, one of the things I've done is rearranged my website so that you don't have to scroll down through the transcript of one podcast episode to get to the next podcast episode. I found this handy dandy little player that goes on the front page that you can just click from podcast to podcast. But if you want to go to the show notes, click on podcast, and then you'll see that the transcription is gone. And where it's gone, I'm not really sure. So I'm still working on that, and I'm going to try and put a link to the podcast transcript from the podcast show notes. But that's all a work in progress as I learn more and more about this wonderful way of doing websites on WordPress. I'm still learning. Please be patient with me as we iron out a few of the bugs. So thank you for that. But hopefully now you can just click through and listen to any podcast that you might have missed. But as always, like, if you really don't want to miss a podcast, the best thing to do is get a podcatcher on your phone or on your computer, iTunes or Podkicker or there's many of them, and I talked about them a bit in the last show and put that up in the show notes. So if you get a podcatcher, then that's designed to work with my podcast, and you can subscribe to my podcast just by hitting subscribe and searching A Quiet Life, and then you'll never miss out because it will be downloaded every time and you just won't lose it, and you can catch up at any time. So I encourage you to do that. That would be fantastic. Now, it's really exciting for me because the total listens to this show has now reached over 600. So that's very, very cool. So thank you for listening, because it encourages me that you listen. If you're getting something out of it and you're thinking this is really a fun podcast to listen to, or I don't know if fun's the right word. Is fun the right word? An encouraging podcast, an inspirational podcast. However it hits you, if you think it's worthwhile and you want to share it with other people, the best thing that you could do would be to leave a review and a rating on Apple Podcasts, and that would really help me get the word out to people. So even just heading to Apple Podcasts and hitting a star rating would be fantastic. That would get the word out to others, because I would like to share this encouragement with as many people as possible. So I got a bit sidetracked there. So this week, yes, I rearranged my website. That's not the only thing I did this week. I had more teaching. Our church had their women's teaching day. We call it refill. And it really was a day of refill. We had some excellent teaching on prayer and adoration, prayer, just talking to God, listening to God, building that relationship with God, thinking about the different names of God and things. And one of the things that I'm very interested about, because three times last week this came up in the different things I was doing, is prayer walking. So walking around your neighbourhood and praying for the people in your neighbourhood. So walking up your street and praying for the people in the houses on the street. Walking along the beach and praying for the people you see there. It's amazing what God can do when we depend on Him in prayer. And without prayer, without God, you know, nothing is possible. So talking to Him, listening to Him, and asking Him for things in His will, just so awesome. And if you do it while you're walking, you get good exercise as well. So anyway, I encourage you to do some prayer walking this week. And the final thing I wanted to talk about that has happened to me this week is that my new book that I am publishing under my other author name, RJ Amos, has come. So I got the paperback copy, the proof copy of the paperback in the mail just yesterday. And so I was so excited about that. So if you find me on Facebook under RJ Amos Author, you will see my unboxing video, because I like to do that. You'll see how beautiful it looks. So if you're interested in a clean, cozy mystery that's, I hope, again, uplifting, even though it's a mystery, then you could order it through emailing ruth@rjamos.com, or you can email ruth@ruthamos.com.au, because it's the same person, or that's for the paperback copy. If you want, or you can order the paperback coffee. Now that might be a good idea. No. You can order the paperback copy through Amazon as well, or you will be able to. I hope it comes up soon. But if you're into ebooks, ebooks are great. Ebooks don't clutter up your bookshelf. Then Amazon, iTunes, and Kobo already have this ebook up. So if you look under RJ Amos, you'll see some ebooks by me, and it's a short novel, and it's not too expensive, so you can order it from all over the world, pre-order it at the moment. So the actual launch date is the 23rd of November, so unfortunately you haven't heard the last of this book. But I just thought I'd let you know. It's exciting. It's happened in my life. That's probably going to be a once or twice a year thing, or more if I can manage it. But so that's been my week. It's been a pretty good week. And I hope your week has been too. And I really hope that today's episode, the talk with Rosina, will be uplifting and encouraging to you in whatever you're going through, just knowing that you also can depend on God for everything. So look after yourself. Many blessings. Have a great week. And let's listen to the interview. Today we're welcoming Rosina to the show, and I have known Rosina for a long time. It's lost in the mists of time. So Rosina is one of those family friends that's become an actual friend, which is really wonderful, and I'm really very nice. Grateful for our friendship. I really am. So a little bit about Rosina, to give context, is that she worked as a journalist in the Mercury.
Mm-hmm.
Back when journalism was good in the Mercury. Ouch. And she and her husband...
Well, the editorial floor had 30 people in it, and it was all buzzing.
Wow.
People working there, not off-site somewhere.
Wow. Mm. Yes. Okay. A different time, really, isn't it? Yeah. So Rosina married Ted, and Ted's passed away now, and she has two boys who are very grown up, and now... I wrote, Rosina's trying to live a quiet life, but she likes to travel quite a lot. She loves riding her bike. She's had very rich experiences overseas in the last few years, and she also volunteers quite a lot of her time at church, and she sings in several choirs, and so it's wonderful. So, you know, quick plug for those of us who are living anywhere in Hobart is that All Saints does a Compline service on the fifth Sunday of every month at 7 p.m. So if you want to hear Rosina sing, you can go and join in on that. So anyway, there you go. That's my first local plug that I've ever done. But yeah,
it's worth it. it's a beautiful service.
Mm. So Rosina, start with how did you become a Christian?
Well, I'm from a very heathen family.
Right.
So the only, I think a grandfather was a Presbyterian minister or involved in the Presbyterian church. But I do feel that the Lord had his hand on me. Mm-hmm. So I was actually born in Zambia.
Oh, wow.
My parents were working in a teacher training college for African men. My father was teaching the men and my mother helped with the wives, with sort of childcare and domestic things. Wow. I remember that Mum always saying that the African women would buy Fanta because that's what the white women were buying for their children, and they presumed that anything that the white women did was right.
That's so better. Yes.
It was an interesting cultural issue.
Yeah, difficult.
Mm. But it was very interesting that it was a compound with this international compound with people from teaching who are from all over the world.
Mm.
And in the compound was a black family, the Kabapis, and Naomi Kabapi and myself were born within days of each other. And I'm not sure whose idea it was, but my parents weren't all that, weren't very committed in terms of faith, but we decided to have a multiracial christening, which was very significant at those times because I've now realised that the white community were completely separate from the black community.
Wow.
And here we were both being baptised at the same time.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
And it was very special. It was the first time it had ever happened in Zambia, I think.
Wow.
So I think that was a really good start. So the question was how I became a Christian.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. So how old were you when you left Zambia?
I was two when we came here, right. So I was very young. But I do say that I have this, I get tingles down my spine when I hear African drumming because the compound where we lived was just down the road from the workers' compound in the mines. It was a copper mine. Mining area, and every night they would just play the drums and sing, and that was my lullaby to go to sleep to. So it is sort of in there somewhere, my connection to Africa. But I think my other sort of seminal moment was for a little while I went to Broadland House Girls Grammar School, which has now been absorbed in Launceston. And I can clearly remember the first time I went to St John's Church as part of the, might have been the start of this new school year, and it was the first time I've ever been to a service. And I just have this picture in my mind of, and singing hymns before the Lord in this church, and I think he claimed to be then, really.
Right.
It was just so special, and so obviously other opportunities later in life I was able to become more committed and more involved, that was the start.
Mm. So is there a time in your adult life where you said, this is it?
I'd gone and had a time at high school where my flute teacher was also had a children's choir, which wasn't really very good, but that sort of kept me in, and that was a Presbyterian church at the time. And then I remember at uni, I'd sort of slipped away a bit at uni, and I had two flatmates who were very significant influence, and both of them would go to church on in the morning and at night, and I kept saying to them, you go twice?
You go twice.
And then I thought, perhaps I'm missing out on something. And after that I made more of a commitment.
Yeah, So why did you decide to become a journalist?
Oh, well, I've never really planned anything very well, so I fell in love with classics at uni, and I got a scholarship to do a Master of Philosophy degree on Roman female portraiture, which was very useful.
Lots of jobs there.
Yeah, that's right. I thought I might be able to get into museums. Tried one course, couldn't get into it, came back to home. And while I was waiting to apply for another course, I was offered a cadetship at the Mercury. So it was very different from being hiding away in a library writing a long thesis to sitting in the newsroom with constant noise and deadlines. And it was an interesting experience, good experience.
And did you find that you had ways that your faith showed up in your work there?
Well, I wrote the religion column at that stage. Mercury did have one.
Oh, nice. Mm. Yeah.
And I was unashamedly Christian focused. So all the other, everybody else knew that I was the God botherer.
Right, yeah.
And I didn't go to the pub, and I didn't drink, and I didn't sort of relish all the gruesome stories that some people, you know, like someone died and it was a good story. Oh, good story. Good story. So yeah. I think I did stand out a little bit. And a few people in that editorial floor just wouldn't look at me, wouldn't even look me in the eye, because I was the sort of the Christian.
Right.
And it was that time when I interviewed your mother and father once as well.
Yeah, okay.
So, yes, it was very apparent that I was a bit different.
Mm, yeah. Did you find that led to any interesting conversations with people?
Well, I think they just sort of accept that I was a bit wacky. I remember writing about God's creation once and someone pointing out that it, you know, not everybody believes that. There was another fellow, Lindsay Tuffin, who was there at the, for a while, and he was a great support. And he'd actually told me how to relate to non-Christians, which was just ask how their children are. That's yes. a good conversation that starter. Works, yes. So.
Nice.
But I got to the stage where, so I did a full cadetship, which was actually a very good experience in terms of writing and learning to write concisely.
Yeah.
Because the red pen would come out and they'd cut it all if they didn't like it. But then I married and we had to move to Launceston and there wasn't any, so that was the end of that little chapter in my history.
Cool. So that brings us nicely to Ted.
Yes, that's right. Well, so Ted's, I have come across another person who's recently become engaged because they met at a prayer meeting. But that's how Ted and I met at a prayer meeting, which was very...
That's very special.
I think he actually planned it, so...
God or Ted?
Ted a bit, yeah. Yes. So Ted's faith was very strong. He was a very... a good model for me, who was probably a little more casual in my faith. But while for the 15 years we were married, we think pretty well we prayed every morning together, which was wonderful. And Ted was very just pure in his faith. And that was very special. And in fact, that was one of the hardest things when Ted passed away, that I had to start praying by myself and didn't have somebody else making me. You know, having the discipline.
Plus you were struggling with the grief as well. So.
Well, that's right, yes. Yes.
So Ted's one of the most intellectually brilliant people that I know. He was this pretty stunning brain, I think, in his philosophy and,
Yes, because he had two, he did honours in philosophy and then he thought, oh, well, I'll do honours in psychology as well. And he was working, teaching while he was then did his Masters of Education and his PhDs.
Mm. Yeah, and he did his PhD really quickly too, didn't he?
Yes.
And a couple of years.
And there's hardly any corrections needed. And,
yeah. So, yeah, astonishing man. And then he became ill. So.
That's right, yes. So we moved to the Eastern Shore and we'd always liked cycling and it was much easier from the Eastern Shore and Ted headed off one day and it had been raining and he came down, it was a normal route, which is down Napoleon Street, which is very steep, battery point, and came off his bike and hit his head. And that was about 2001, I think. And it took a little while to realise the significance of it and the consequences. So at first it was losing keys and losing the remote control to garage and the number of times I had to break the window to get in because the remote was in the garage, or little things like that. And then it became apparent that it was more than just a little bit of forgetfulness. And I eventually got a diagnosis that Ted had Alzheimer's. So it was probably about 2008 or 2009.
Mm-hmm.
And I had no... Well, for a while, Ted being Ted, he was very concerned financially that if I stopped work, or if he stopped work, there'd be issues. Got him to stop work. I worked full-time as a performance auditor just to do something different.
Mm-hmm.
didn't enjoy that very much. Mm-hmm. Then I needed to go part-time to care for Ted because all sorts of things were happening, and then eventually I resigned and became full-time carer.
Mm. And how did your faith help or hinder through that time?
Well, it was very profound. There's a wonderful lady at the Alzheimer's Association who was Christian, and she gave me a book on basically which is all about how having Alzheimer's doesn't affect your spirituality.
Mm.
And in fact, I think it becomes stronger somehow when you've, well, they lose their functioning.
Mm. But your personality is still there in your spirit.
Mm. Yeah. Yes, that's right. And in fact, the sort of last few days of Ted's life, we just sang scripture and song from beginning to end.
Wow.
He sort of stopped singing after a while, and I kept singing, and I'm not sure whether he actually enjoyed it, but it was very important. And I suppose the big issue is that the role of a carer is very tough, and I don't think we acknowledge it enough. In a weird way, I can't really call it a blessing, but you do, it's a total dependence on the Lord. So I can remember sitting in church one morning, and we were singing How Deep the Father's Love. Mm. And it was just this sort of like a sort of a knife to the heart, I suppose, that line, which I've written out so I don't mess it up. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I can boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Mm. So as a carer, you lose yourself. You deny yourself. And Ted really wasn't happy being with other people caring for him, so I did the majority of it, most of it, and did it for as long as I could until I realised that I was sort of disappearing, the person that I was and the things that I liked doing. I was sort of merging, we'd all been lost in this caring role. So I took the hard decision of just having some respite for Ted, but I knew that it would actually be the beginning of the end because there's a bit of an irony with Alzheimer's that often, you know, you think of elderly people with Alzheimer's, but there's a lot of early onset Alzheimer's where people are physically still very strong. And one of our main activities was cycling together. Yes. So when Ted was sort of put into a secure unit, he thought he was in prison and he tried to get out. And then there was a sort of a spiral that declined in terms of medication, and so as soon as they lifted the medication, he tried to get out again, and
that just must have been incredibly hard.
Well, the dependence on the Lord is absolute. That's all you have, and he gives you the grace and the strength and the sort of moments of joy, like praying together or. So it's not something you would want to experience, but I'm sure my faith grew through that time.
Mm. Wow. Cool.
In fact, coming here, I remember that we I'd organised a sort of an afternoon tea with your mum and dad and some other close friends, because that was before he was going to go into care. And I can remember he got fed up. He was sort of grumpy and saying, "Well, I don't want you here anymore. I've had enough." Which is actually quite a good segue to lead into.
Yes, the next thing we're going to talk about, which is introversion.
Yes, that's right.
Because Rosina and I our friendship has really grown over a shared experience of being quite, of course, extreme introverts, the two of us. So, yeah. So when did you start to think more about that, and how did that change things for you?
I used to lead the singing at church, and I still sing at church, but you know, sort of lead the service, and people would say to me, "But you're not an introvert. You get up there and you're really confident." They didn't sort of realize the cost. So I've never liked crowds. I've always happiest outside, bushwalking or being by the water and on the water. And so, you know, the seeds were there, and Ted was also an introvert. In fact, I think the whole family were really introverts. But what was a, I can remember going to the women's Anglican women's retreat two years ago, I think, and having some what's it called, spiritual direction, and just saying to the woman that, well, I just wanted to be quiet. Well, there's just too much noise everywhere. And it was she that recommended me the book by Susan Cain called Quiet, The Power of Introverts in a World That Can't Stop Talking.
That's a brilliant book.
Yeah, it was really, really helpful. And so affirming of the positives,
yes,
of the strengths that introverts do have. So I think it's still a journey, but I've actually become happier and happier in not saying much. You know, you actually don't have to always say what's in your head. In fact, it's much better to just sit back and listen to what everybody else are doing, saying and thinking. And I'm feeling much more comfortable about my introversion.
Yeah, and not having to go to all of the events or all of the things that are on, or be part of everything.
And I think, like you, I often sort of think, if I've got quite a lot on during the day, I sort of think, okay, well, when's going to be my downside, when I can just sit and knit or do my tapestry or embroidery or potter in the garden, because that's the time when I'm rejuvenated.
Yeah, lovely. So that sort of leads on to the next one, which is when do you feel closest to God?
Oh, well, outside. I think my prayer's different forms. So walking my dog Daisy in the morning is when I sort of pour out everything and tell the Lord all about this. And then, you know, there's more quieter times when I'm just sort of staying put. But it's like, I suppose it's like a conversation you have with friends, isn't it? They're different formats and different styles.
Absolutely.
But I always, my sort of blood pressure drops a few degrees every time I step out the front door and smell the air and see the water.
Fantastic. Oh, yes, because you kayak as well.
Yes, well, in the summer when it's warm. I'm very cautious, but I do love being on the water. That's the perfect way of escaping, because no one can get you. That's really lovely, being on the water.
Fantastic. Yeah, awesome. What's one thing about God or Christianity that you wish everybody knew?
Well, because I have my atheist family, I'm sort of conscious of what non-Christians think of Christians. They've told me a few times. I think it's such a sad thing that a lot of people who aren't Christians just think of Christianity as being a whole bunch of rules of things you can't do. Whereas, in fact, in the submission to the Lord, you actually have this immense freedom and peace. And you can cease your striving. And that's, God isn't about rules. God is about love. And I think we do sometimes lose that message of God's love in our churches a little bit. And that, you know, the outpouring of love that he would, how he wants to bless us in very deep and profound ways. So, yes, but it's, I suppose then it's when people are in a point of need that I suppose non-Christians would say then you're exploiting them. But it's sometimes, well, it's like my experience with Ted, it's good to be brought to your knees sometime, and then you're really made to decide what's important in life and what gives you strength.
Yeah, it's interesting. There's a quote from the book Kisses for Katie. I don't know if you've...
No.
She left the US at about age 19 and went to Uganda for a gap year and ended up adopting 13 girls. And she says, well, they say to you, God won't give you more than you can handle. But she said, and it's my experience that God always gives you more than you can handle, because that's when you depend on him. And it sounds like that's your experience. And then he comes through for you.
And also, you know, we assume that life's going to be easy, but it's not necessarily, you know, why should we have it easy when the vast bulk of the people in the world is suffering terribly? So,
yes,
it's a bit of the sort of Western myth, isn't it, that we deserve a comfortable existence without too much
pain
or stress.
Mm. Yes, but it's good to know that God is there, even in that.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, thank you so very much for talking to us today.
Not at all. It was great fun. It was much easier than I thought it was going to be.
That's excellent.
Thank you so much for listening. I hope this has been encouraging for you. I want to especially thank Catherine Joy Music for the theme music. If you would like to help me fund this podcast, you can find me at patreon.com/quietlife and help me out for as little as $1 a month. If you want to contact me, you can email Ruth at ruthamos.com.au or find me on Facebook at Ruth Amos Author or tweet me at A Quiet Life. I'd love to hear from you. God bless. See you next week.